Well, like Tan said, I am Jamie, and we are in the middle of a series called Heartbeat. Not Heartbreak, but it is Heartbeat. If you were to take your pulse and anywhere you can find it, you'll feel your heart just chugging away underneath with that dun-dun, dun-dun. Dun, dun. And that's what your heart does about 115,000 times a day, pumping almost 2,000 gallons of blood to all the parts of your body. And that's what a heart is, what a heartbeat does. It's the thing that is keeping you alive one beat at a time, driving you forward one beat at a time, keeping you going one beat at a time. Or here's how I've been thinking about it. A heart is something that pumps what's most vital to life to all the parts of the body, wherever they be found. And the whole point of this series is that East Cobb Church has a heartbeat. We've got something in the middle of all of our energy and passion and effort that's going dun, dun, dun. And it is pumping out a passion and energy and sacrifice and investment to all parts of this body here. And this series is about two things that are in our heartbeat, two things that like beat at the center of our church. And last week we looked at the first one, and it was essentially about who God is, that there are a lot of ideas out there about who God is and what he's like. And we asked the question, what do you think about when you think about God? And we found that though there's a lot of confusion in culture and maybe even in amongst us about who God is, Jesus had a really cool moment in his ministry where he made it very clear. And he says, God is a father. This is how you can pray. You can actually approach God, call God, think about God, feel about God, that he is our father. And we dove into that last week. And if that doesn't make sense to you, or if that's not kind of lighting up your heart a little bit this afternoon, then you need to go watch it, because then I think it will, because you'll really get what it means. That's what we really dove into. What does it mean that God is your father? And that was really cool. So go back and watch that. We even have a 7-minute highlight for you if you missed it on our website. But today is about part two, because a heartbeat has two parts. Ding, ding. And this second part is something that I'm really excited about, something that really is the reason we planted this church from the beginning. And I'm excited to talk about it, to get into it. I want to tell you about an epiphany I had the other day after going on a date with my wife. It was just kind of a standard, straightforward date, like a dinner in a movie scenario. And so I jumped online, and we wanted to go try out this restaurant down on Canton Street called Salt. It's not new. We just moved to the area, so it's new to us. And so I went on Open Table, made a reservation. Went to go see a movie, went on Fandango, got tickets to the movie. Great. I was actually out getting a haircut, and I walked by the store Brooks Brothers, and I remembered, oh my goodness, I have a gift card from Sarah's parents. This is my wife, by the way, Sarah. Her parents had given me a gift card, so I go into Brooks Brothers and get a new shirt. And I'm like, this is going to be a great date. New shirt, new restaurant, new movie. What could go wrong? And it didn't. It was awesome. It was fantastic. We had a great date night. Well, the next day, this is where I kind of had the epiphany as I was doing this. I got 3 emails. You ever gotten those emails? Like you go some website and they're like, how was it? You know, tell us all about it. And I got 3 emails from Brooks Brothers, Fandango, and what's the other one? Oh, Open Table with the restaurant. Normally, I don't ever answer those. I go to my spam account and I'm like, you know, whatever. But for whatever reason, this particular day, I didn't have enough to do. And so I'm in my inbox and I'm like, you know what? I'm going to actually respond and tell them how my time was. And so first I started with Brooks Brothers. It was the first one that I got. And they were like, how was your experience at Brooks Brothers? And I was like, awesome, period. But you know, maybe I'd like some more colors in the fitted shirts, because those are the ones that I like the best. And some of your shirts don't seem to look good when they're not tucked in. I don't always tuck my shirt in, period, sent. And I'm like, that felt good. Told them what I thought. Had a good time, but I gave him a good star rating. You know, I'm very happy with my experience there. But you know, I had some feedback, a little bit of feedback. And then I saw the one from Fandango, and they were like, "How was your movie?" You know, and so I was like, "Well, I'm on a roll, might as well." I'm like, "The movie was good." I thought in the beginning it was the middle it got a little slow, and there was one of the characters that was like, "Yeah," but I mean, overall, I'll give it 4 out of 5 stars. And then there was Open Table, and they wanted to know how my dinner was, and they were like, "How was it?" You know, they gave me all these ratings, like ambiance and the food and everything, and I'm like, man, good food, great service, cool ambiance, can't really have any complaints. I mean, except for the fact that your tables are pretty close together, because they were like, you know, you're like sitting next to someone and they're like right there, you know, because it's like a small restaurant, which normally doesn't bother Sarah and I, except in this instance, what looked like a middle schooler was sitting next to us. And I tell you, he had to have put on like 5 pounds of Axe body spray, you know? So like my burger over here is just getting attacked by the Axe body spray. It like smelled like Apollo or Lunar. I don't even know what flavors they got, but it was like, bro, like just go outside, please. Anyway, so I actually wrote that in the thing. And I'm like, man, I could do this more often. I kind of like you know, sharing my opinion because I've got no shortage of opinions, especially when I've just experienced something. I can tell you all about what I liked and what I didn't like and what I wanted more of or what I wanted less of and so on and so forth. And you're the same way. I mean, we as a culture, we're just wired for evaluation. We're just wired for feedback. In fact, the number one, I looked this up, number one most used feature on the internet, the number one most, the highest volume of information communication is feedback. It's the like button, it's the comment section on YouTube, or it's surveys or reviews or whatever. We just can't get enough of telling people what we think about what we experienced, what I liked, what I didn't like, what I wanted more of or less of. And whether you're, you know, clicking the like button or writing a review or just thinking about it in your head and not telling anybody, we are a culture that is just really wired for evaluation. And we can go on and on and on, and 3 out of 5 stars, no, 4.5 out of 5 stars, and here's why, and I could tell you, and that's the deal. Well, here's the epiphany that I had as I was doing this, and my wife and I were kind of laughing at it because I don't normally do that. I was talking to her about each one of these, and I had this epiphany. There's another place where I find myself doing this. There's another place where I find myself kind of bringing that consumer mentality and attitude. There's another place where I hear myself talking or thinking this way. And it's here, at church. You ever found yourself kind of going to church like you're going to a movie, you know, or a concert or something like that? I totally do. Like my wife and I, we would like, we'll go to church in the morning back when we were going to Buckhead or North Point. And then, you know, we go to lunch of some kind, either out or at home. And inevitably somebody at some point will go like, hey, so what you think about church? And you would have thought, you would think that someone had just asked me about date night. You know, you would think someone had just asked me about a restaurant I've been to. I can immediately start telling you about the songs, what I liked and didn't. And then, you know, that I wish you'd done that song instead of this song. I can tell you about the sermon, what I thought was really funny or clear or not clear. Or like, I didn't really get it. Or like, oh my goodness, I can tell you. And we're like church nerds, you know, because we work at a church. So we can get nerdy. We can talk about like transitions. You know, we're like, oh, the wording there was not quite, you know, like we can get into it and evaluate churches. At all kinds of levels. I mean, we should have done this, not that. And like, I could give you like general ratings and then subcategories, you know, like I could, we could go crazy deep on and on about how our Sunday experience was. And it doesn't sound that much different than me going to like a movie. And I just wonder, do you ever, have you ever found yourself, I mean, guilt-free, I do it. Have you ever found yourself kind of going to church that way? Like maybe it was hard to tell the difference between you going to church and you eating at some new restaurant. Like maybe it was when you visited a church, or if you're here for one of the first times in to church in a while or in your life, like maybe you know what it's like to show up at a church with a menu. You're like, well, I would like to have, you know, 2 people greet me, but not like much more than that because then it gets creepy and cultish, so no thanks. And like music needs to be cool. I don't really care except no organs reminds me of Dracula. Let's not do that. And how about the guy that preaches? Let's make sure he's funny and timely. I mean, short enough to get me where I'm going, but long enough to give me a decent break from my kids in whatever land down there. You know, like check, check, and check. I'm good. That'll make me happy. But if you are a regular at a church, which I have been a lot of my life, you know, you can get specific, right? You're like, no. I'll see that and raise you. I want to park on the east side of the building and come in the ramp on the way to upstreet so I can get my cup of water, and then we need to drop off kid number 3 because that's the line that gets long fast, and then we need to like get kids 1 and 2 after that. But then we got to get in this pew thing, which that's a little different. We got to get there in time to stake our territory and get the buffer zone. You know, the buffer zone that you need between you and strangers, because if it's a scoot situation like some of y'all over here in the corner, I'm really sorry, you end up getting like whoom right next to him and you're like, hi, you know, and we don't want to do that. So like we got to get that happening. And then when it comes to the music, let's get at least 3 songs and like none of that fluff stuff, because like sometimes we do a baptism, I'm all for that, but then that takes one of my songs and it's like, I really like my songs. And, you know, we must make sure that happens. And like, come on, most of the time, let's at least get Andy up there and not one of those other guys. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like totally hypothetical. But, do you ever find yourself kind of going to church that way? I mean, the reason that you're laughing and the reason that I'm kind of getting it accurately is because I do. I'm a professional Christian, you know, and I can find myself going to church that way. I mean, no matter who you are, Christian or not, first time in church, 500th time in church, I think we all know what it's like to go to church with the idea that it's about this right here, that it's about getting something. The songs and how they were, the sermon and what I got out of it and what if it was relatable and funny and this or that, the greeters and did they make me feel good, you know, the experience in the parking lot, whatever, which those are all important. Did my kids like it? So on and so forth. I think we all know what it's like to walk in thinking, yeah, I'm coming to church today to get something. That's what this is about, right? And you know what? It is. It is. Absolutely is. Church should be a place that every time you're here, you get something out of it. In fact, me and this crew and our staff that are working around the building and all these volunteers, a lot of you are in the room because you're on your off week or whatever, we work really hard to create a church that you love coming to, no matter who you are, that you feel welcome, you feel like it makes sense, that you get something out of it, you leave with the, like all the feels, you know, you feel good. And then every time that you walk out of this room or wherever it is you come into this building and you go, man, I like what I got. It was, it was good. I want some more. I want to come back. We're like high-fiving because you are absolutely supposed to get something when you come to church, 100%. But I just want to today, if I could, I want to point out something peculiar or interesting about getting something. Getting something is always great to a point. Like, for example, you go to an all-you-can-eat buffet to get something, and it's great to a point. At some point, you're like, if I eat one more piece of chicken, I'm gonna die. You know, I don't want any more. Or you go to a movie to get something, right? It's fun to watch a movie, but when your wife and kids are watching Frozen 2 for the 50th time since it came out 2 days ago, you're like, I'm gonna gouge my eyeballs out. Getting something is great to a point. That's true of that vacation spot you keep going to over and over again, and maybe it starts to lose its luster. It is true of a concert or a band that you've seen so many times, you could almost write the concert for them. You know exactly what's gonna happen. It's true of that restaurant you go to like every single date night that you go out. You're like, okay, you know, getting something is great to a point. And I just wanna ask you this afternoon, hey, have you ever gotten bored with church? Does that ever happen? Don't answer. Have you ever found yourself getting bored with church? Like, you've been coming for a while and one day you woke up and you're like, I'm kind of over it. I kind of feel underwhelmed. Or, hey, have you ever gotten frustrated with church? I've been here, like, you were trying to find the church that was just right for you and you couldn't quite seem to. You're like, man, if I could just take like one church and mush it together with a second church and bring friends from a third church, then like, oh, that would be it. But I can't, and you're frustrated and you're trying to find one that fits you and you can't. And I bet this is why. You ever been bored with church? I bet this is why. You ever been frustrated with church? I bet this is why. Have you ever felt disengaged from the local church? Like, especially those of you that kind of been in it a minute. Like, when you show up on Sundays, you feel like a spectator. Like, you're more of a fan in the stands than you are a player on the field. I bet this is why. I bet this is why, this concept that I'm talking about. It's why I think many of us have hit a ceiling in our relationship with God. I think a lot of us can identify with that. I think it's why, like, some of us maybe have hit a ceiling in our relationship with God. Like, you've been coming around church a while, but you're still kind of in the same place that you were a while ago. I think this is why. It's why some of us don't see a strong connection or a lot of relevance between our faith on Sunday and whatever we do on Monday. It's why a lot of us historically haven't seen a lot of influence and power and life change coming from our faith on Sunday to our life on Monday. It's why I think our culture in general doesn't always think or see church as the solution to some of its biggest problems. What we're talking about today. It's why there are needs in this county, in this neighborhood, shoot, in this street that should have been met a long time ago but haven't. It's why there are tons of people in East Cobb or in greater Cobb County who have never even had a church experience. They've never been inspired to come check out a church or inspired to consider following Jesus. And it's why maybe many of us have lived next to them for years and years and not even so much as said hi or invited them to come. If you're not a Christian and you've had a bad church experience, or you know what it's like to show up around some Christians and it seems like they have a menu and you aren't on it, your past isn't on it, your lifestyle isn't on it, your values aren't on it, your politics aren't on it, this is why. Because we have made the mistake of thinking, or we've accidentally fallen into the rut of acting as if church is just about getting something. And that may work great with restaurants or movies or concerts, but when that mentality comes into church, it's an amazing thing that Jesus started all those years ago, things start to get sideways. And that's why I would like, as we're talking about heartbeat, I would like to look at a passage where Jesus gives us a really clear picture of what all this is about. I mean, how important as we're planting a church together. I want to look at a passage where Jesus says, I'm going to tell you what's right at the heart of church, what church is about, and what we're going to see, I'll go ahead and tell you, it's not about getting something. It's not ultimately about getting something. What we're going to see from Jesus himself is that church is ultimately about something else. And that something else is something that beats at the heart of East Cobb Church. Or at least I want it to. And I think you do too. This something else, it might be a new idea to some. It might be an old idea to many of us. I do think it's one that it's easy to let ourselves forget from personal experience. But here's the promise. If you are a Christian, this something else, I believe truly that it has potential to take your faith and to a next level and to like just set it on fire in a way that it never has been before. I really believe that because I've experienced it in my life. But also what's even cooler, I think, is if you're not a Christian, this something else is the thing that you can be about and you can jump on board on, with. And I think that you're going to be a big fan of, even if you're not a Christian. Like this something else is the thing that is worth coming to church for every Sunday, even if you're not a church person, even if you don't love worship songs, even if you don't care about sermons, this is the thing. And this thing is found in Matthew chapter 6. And it is chapter 5 and 6 and 7. It's a part of Jesus's biggest sermon that we have on record. It's one many of you know as the Beatitudes, the Sermon on the Mount. And the context is fascinating. So Jesus is giving a sermon to a group of people who've been following him for a while. And they have very quickly picked up on the fact that following Jesus is about getting something. Because when you follow Jesus, all of a sudden he makes bread out of thin air, you know? All of a sudden he heals the sick and the lame and the blind. All of a sudden he gives you incredible insights. And you're like, oh my gosh, that just helped me figure out my life. And so there's this crowd of people that have become accustomed to getting something from Jesus. And it's been really, really great. And Jesus, here in this biggest sermon of his entire career, if you will, he takes a moment almost to call like a timeout, and he's like, hey, I want to make sure it's really clear what following me is about. Like when you guys gather like in the future and you have churches or you plant a church in some place called East Cobb, what's at the heart of it? Like what is it about? And he doesn't say, you're gonna get. Those aren't his first words. You get a and you get a and you get a and you get a. No, he takes a moment to say something far more powerful and far more defining. And these are the words he says, you are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. You are the light of the world. You want to know what defines you? You want to know what beats at the very center, the very heart of the church, both global and local? It's you are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. You are the light of the world. What does he mean? Like the light of the world. I mean, is it like the light bulb up there? No, the idea of what he has in mind is more like this. Like, have you ever been camping? Anybody ever been camping? You know, like when it gets dark and somebody like lights a fire, where does everybody go? You can talk in our church back at me. It's okay. Where does everybody go? Yeah, boom, they go around the fire. Or hey, you remember the last time the power went out in your apartment or your house or wherever it is you stay at? And somebody, usually it's mom, moms have like mysterious stashes of candles somewhere and they bring them out and light them, and where does everybody go? Yeah, I go to the candles. So Jesus is like, yeah, it's like that. Or hey, it's like a city on a hill. You ever seen a city on a hill? To which, I don't know, your answer might be like mine for most of my life, like no. This one time though, my wife and I went on a trip to New York and we flew at night. And we're on the plane and it's pitch black outside, but then the plane does one of these, you know. And then by the time it's done, New York, boom, comes into view. And it's like, boom, boom, bah! You know, just blazing in the night sky. Everybody on the side of the plane's like, ooh, you know, just gawking at it. And people are coming over from the other, some guy's face is right here next to mine, you know. It's like a city on a hill. Jesus says, yeah, that, you know, like when you're camping and the light's out and the light power's out and you light candles, or you know, like when you see a city on a hill, that, church, is a great picture of you in the world. That, Jesus says, is a great picture of our world, of your world, because the world, Jesus says, is in darkness. Ooh. Jesus would say, and has said, Jesus says, your world is in darkness. Have you ever seen darkness in the world? You ever seen darkness? Yeah, like when you look at someone's circumstances. And whatever happened to them, whether it's their fault or not, you look at it and go, oh man, that's darkness. And your heart breaks. Or maybe it's someone's choices. Maybe it was someone you love's choices and you watched the path that they were going down and it broke your heart because you know it led to darkness. Those choices lead to darkness. And you saw the consequences happening in your life and you see it in the news and you see it other places where people's choices are like just bringing darkness into their life. Or maybe it's in someone's view of God. Have you ever met somebody that you felt like when it came to God, like they're the most smartest person you've ever met, but when it came to God, they just like had this darkness. Like they just didn't know, like we said last week, that God is your father. He loves you. He's with you. He's for you. But for some reason, they had been sold some other idea and there was just darkness when it came to God. I bet you've seen that. Or we've all seen in the local news and the state news and the national news and the international news, darkness. Like you look out at the world and you hear stories of viruses, of wars, of hatred, of racism, of hurt, of pain. And you're like, man, there is darkness in this world. There's darkness not just out there. There's darkness in this county. Just down the road is one of the hubs of sex trafficking. There's darkness in Cobb County. You've seen it. And Jesus said, yeah, the world's in darkness. And then he looks at the church and he said, here's what happened to you. You ran into some light and the light was Jesus. You were in darkness, but then there came a point where you ran into the light. And it was Jesus. And maybe at first it was just that you were coming around church and the sermons were helpful and the music was inspiring and the people at the door were nice and they made you feel so good and that hadn't happened in a while. And then maybe your family came or your spouse came or some friends came and they liked it too. And all of a sudden you're starting to get some community who are your friends and who are encouraging you. And you're starting to get some, you know, some answers for your questions, some insights for your mysteries, some help for some of your problems, some light for some of your darkness. And you're going, I'm kind of liking this. This is nice. I'm kind of liking where I'm standing here. This is a great experience. I'm liking this light. But for many of us in the room tonight, you know that at some point it went way beyond just that. Because at some point in your life, you found yourself on like a baptism video or in a small group sharing your story or in some other church of some point in time going, no. This light changed my life. Like this light right here, this light changed my life. Like Jesus saved my marriage. Like I was headed down one path and Jesus took me and he put me on another. Jesus is the one who picked up the pieces. It changed my life. Or hey, Jesus set me free. Like this light right here, it set me free. Like I was bound up or I was addicted or I was totally stuck and I didn't know what to do, but he set me free. This light has set me free. Or hey, this light has given me hope. Like I used to look at the end of my story and just see darkness. Like I didn't even know where it was all headed, but now a savior stands in my story. And for the first time, I see light at the end of my story. He has just given me hope. Or hey, this light has made me new. If you knew who I was, I can tell you this story. If you knew who I was, if you knew who I was, you wouldn't even know me. There's an old me, but that old me is going away. And because of this light of Jesus, I'm a new person, or that new person is coming. And it's amazing. Or hey, this light has forgiven me. Are you kidding me? This light has forgiven my sins. I didn't think it was ever possible. I didn't think I could ever make up for it, but somehow, some way, Jesus just gave me forgiveness and he took all of my sin. Oh, and if that wasn't enough, not only did he change my life, not only did he set me free, not only did he give me direction and purpose and forgiveness, he changed my eternity. Like he has saved my soul. I mean, are you kidding me? It's amazing. I was running around in darkness just like every other person on the planet, but then I ran into the light and it is like, woo, awesome. Jesus says, church, that's what happened to you. You came around me and you got some light shining on you. And it was amazing. And it was meant to happen. It was God's plan for you. And it was great. But what's revolutionary about this passage, and I don't want you to miss this, and I don't want us as a church family to miss this, what's revolutionary about this passage, and what I think should change our lives and shape our weeks and define us as a church, is that this doesn't end here. No, there's a purpose and a point to all of this. And that purpose and that point is that you and I would realize that we have an invitation and we have an opportunity and we have a responsibility to do something amazing, something powerful, The point of all this is that you and I would wake up to the fact or tune into the fact that we have an invitation and an opportunity and a responsibility to do this. See that? Remember, you can talk. Y'all see that? The whole point of this passage is Jesus saying, hey, you have an invitation, you have an opportunity, even a responsibility to shine the light of the world. The world is in darkness. People you know and people you love or people you meet or people you work with or people you live near, they're in darkness and you have the light of the world. You are the light of the world. Not because of you, no. Not because you're perfect, no. Not because you have it all together, no. Not because you're better than anyone, no. But because you've met Jesus. That's why you're the light of the world. Because you're in a world full of people who are hurting, and guess what? You know the healer, you know? You're in a world full of people who have questions, and you know the creator who's got answers. Like, you're in a world full of people who are looking for purpose, and you've met the one who's got a plan. You're in a world full of people who are lost, and you know the one who knows the way. You're in a world full of people struggling against hate and prejudice, and you know the one whose love is better than life. You're in a world full of people in captivity of one form or another, and you know the one who sets captives free. Or hello, you're in a world full of people who are dying, you included, but you just happen to know the one who busted out of the grave. That's why you're the light. Not because of you, not because of me. No, we were once in darkness too, but then we ran into Jesus and he put one of these in your hand and he said, you are the light of the world. But he goes on, he says, and when that's the case, there's a certain thing you do when you have the light in the darkness. He says this, neither do does anyone light a lamp and put it under a bowl and like hide it. No, that's not what they do. They put it on a stand so that it gives light to the whole house. That's what you do when you're the one with the light. You don't like put it down on the table. You pick it up and be like, oh, guys, I got the light. Y'all need to see? Anybody over here? Y'all need to see? I'm not going to shine it in your eyes because it will blind you for the next millennia. We tried it out. You're like, hey, y'all need light over here? Y'all need light over there? Anybody need light down here? Like, you shine it. You shine it when you're the one with the light in the darkness. And Jesus is saying, yeah, that's what a group of Christians looks like. Like, that's how you would know if you ran into a church. That's what it should look like. Hey, anybody broken out there? We know the guy who can fix anything. Hey, anyone lost? We know the one who knows the way. Hey, anyone dying? We know the one who raises the dead. Y'all need some light? I used to not have it either, but then I found it. And now I'm the light of the world. That's the church. And that's really important. Y'all, church is not, hey, the world need some advice and we got some verses. Church is not, hey, the world needs some songs and we got some great singers, though we do. The world is not, hey, the church is not, hey, the world needs something to do on Sunday and we got it. No. The church is, the world is in darkness and you are the light of the world. And if you've ever been camping or if you've ever been in a house without power, you know how important that is. When you're the one with the light, you have to shine it. Because if you don't, people will not see. You can bring the lights up. And that's what Jesus says. He says, so therefore, let your light so shine before men, women, for others, for your friends, your neighbors, your street, your workplace, the people, the parents, and the baseball field. Yes, even them. Let your light so shine before men that they will see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. You gotta shine it. You have the light. You've run into the light. You are living in the light and benefiting it from it. Now it's your turn to go shine it in the darkness, wherever darkness is found. Church is not ultimately about getting something, though it is. It's not ultimately about getting something, y'all. It is about being something. It is about being the light of the world. Is it about the fact that God is on a mission to shine the light of Jesus into the lives of not just you and me, but every person you live next to, every person you work next to, every person you play next to, every person that's associated with your kids and your school, that God is on a mission to shine the light of Jesus into their lives, into every corner of this county, And his strategy for doing that is not a billboard or some writing in the sky. It's you. It's me. He has strategically placed you next to darkness, and he has put one of these in your hands, and he said, you are the light of the world. And y'all, that's worth showing up for. That's worth going all in for. That's worth planting a church for, and all the energy and effort that this is taking. That's worth it. That's worth showing up at church even when you're not a church person, in my humble opinion. Because think about it, what kind of light could we be? I mean, we got a lot of people out on winter break, but just this crowd right here, just you. Just think with me for a second. What kind of light could we be? I mean, with our collective energy and our collective effort and our collective resources and our collective intellect, our collective skill sets, are you kidding me? Our collective connections and relationships, what kind of light could we be in our neighborhoods and in this county? Are you kidding me? And that is something that will always beat at the center of East Cobb Church. That no matter where we are, and this is my prayer, this is my hope, and I hope you will do this with me. Be this with me. My prayer is that wherever we are, whether it's here on Sunday, or again, at home, or at work, or at school, or the ball field, or whatever, that if anybody were to take our pulse, this is what they would feel. They would sense that, dun, 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 you are. You are, we are, we are. We are trying to be, we are praying to be, we feel called to be light in the darkness. Wherever we are, however we can. That's our heartbeat. And man, I hope it's something that people pick up on, no matter where we are. Man, these people, they just feel like it's their responsibility to be light wherever there's darkness. In fact, it's so important. That's why we made this idea, our rallying cry. I don't know if you've heard the rallying cry of East Cobb Church yet, but it's simple. It doesn't have the word light in it, but it does have Jesus's words when he described what being the light would practically look like. And it's this phrase right here, love where you live. Love where you live. That's our rallying cry. That's what it practically looks like to be the light of the world. Jesus was the light of the world because he was the embodiment of God's love for the world. And when he was leaving, he said, hey, now you are the light of the world. Go love as I have loved you. And that's our heartbeat, da-dun, da-dun, that we would shine the light of the love of Jesus wherever we are and however we can. And so as we close in the last 4 or 5 minutes that I have, I wanted to give you 4 ways that we're gonna try to move together to love where we live and be the light of the world. And the first one is this, and you know, you might even wanna write these down because we're gonna really look really hard to do these. But the first one is this, that I hope that we will love where we live by being radical includers. Radical includers. When you are focused on being the light of the world, everyone is included, you know? Everyone is someone. Everyone is someone that God made and that Jesus died for. And what value does that place on people? Everyone is someone. That means that nobody doesn't belong. Nobody isn't worth the time. Nobody is beyond our love or even our simple kindness. That means that we cannot have a category of people that we hate or that we exclude or that we simply don't prefer. Rather, and instead, we make this spot right here and the space around your life out there one of the most loving and welcoming and compassionate and forgiving spots on planet Earth. That's a cool idea, by the way. You know, all the talk of hate and division in our country, Andy just did a whole series on that, but nobody gets to control what it's like to be in your orbit but you. You have full control over what it's like to be around you, and man, I hope that we will be little hotspots of light. We are radical includers of people, and we're gonna do our part here at East Cobb Church. That's why we have a host team, by the way. It's like their number one mission is to make every single person that walks through the doors feel loved and valued and welcomed, hospitality. And every time I get up here or John gets up here, we say things like, hey, you know, we're a family and we think you're already a part of it. Like you can belong before you believe. Shoot, you can belong before you behave in all the ways that we think you should. You know, that's not the point. You already belong. You're already included with Jesus. And so we're gonna do our part, but man, I hope you will help us and do your part, both by how you treat people out there with kindness and dignity, but also how you invite people. I'm hoping that you will get the word out about East Cobb Church, that there is a standing invitation from East Cobb Church to rich and poor, successful and a disaster, from brown, black, white, whatever, this school, this neighborhood, this side of town and that side of town, that there is a standing invitation to come belong to Jesus here. I hope you will get the word out, starting on your street, starting with the people you already know and love and do life with. I hope you will help get that word out. You will be inviters of people. We will be radical includers and inviters of people because we're light. We love where we live. That's how you love where you live. Second one was this, and I'm love this about our crew. If you don't know this about the East Cobb Church people, I have discovered this is already true of you, but man, you wanna love where you live? Well, go be first responders. Like when there's a need or somebody falls at anywhere in our county, in your neighborhood or in your circle of friends, when somebody's in a hard time, you're like, oh my gosh, there's some darkness, that we will rush to the scene. We will not be those that stand back and go, man, somebody should do something about that. We're going to be like, I'm going to do something about that. I'm the light of the world. We're here to love. We're on a mission to love where we live. I hope we get the reputation as East Cobb Church that, like, man, when something goes down, whether it's an individual or a global, like, you know, community-wide issue, you almost can't beat these people to the scene. It's like they just go into, like, love where you live mode, and they're like, and they just go run towards the need. They're first responders. Man, we are going to do our best as a staff to put those opportunities in front of you, both here at church on Sundays and in small groups. Our small groups are really going to lead the way in this and loving where they live, because you guys are the ones who are living out there. You know what's going on, and small groups are going to be leading the way. And if you're not in one, you should get in one. In fact, I'm going to give you an opportunity to be a first responder before you leave here today, and you might want to take advantage of it. But I'll tell you that in a second. But number three is be inspiring examples. I pray that we will be the kind of people that the people of East Cobb look at and go, man, if there were more people like that, that'd be a great thing for Cobb County. Man, like, if my kids were mentored by someone like that, that would be awesome. If my boss treated me the way she treats her employees, oh man, that would be incredible. If I treated my wife like he treats his wife, if I treated my enemies the way she treats, more people treated their enemies the way she treats her enemies, Cobb would be a better place. I hope that we'll be inspiring examples that shine light. And I know that sounds intimidating. I know that feels like a weight, but I'm telling you, I think together we can trend that direction. And by the way, if you would need some freedom in your life, or you would like a mentor to help you be that kind of an example, or if you would just like to hear about how you could see the Holy Spirit of God set you free and break chains in your life, I would love to talk to you about that. Not because I'm some expert, I'm just a longtime customer. I could give you the full tour of brokenness and bad decisions and regrets, but I could also give you a tour of God's redemption and his healing. And I'd love to talk to you, because I think as a community, man, we ought to be people that are trending towards being inspiring examples, that the way that we just live, it's light. People go, man, I wish more people, I kind of want to be like that. How can you be like that? Well, Jesus, let's be inspiring examples. And the last one's easy, it's quick. I just want us to be a great church. Not only a church that fuels being radical includers and first responders and inspiring examples, but that every time people are here, we do a really fantastic job connecting those dots to Jesus. Like, oh, you wanna know why this crew of people seems to run towards the mess and help? You wanna know why we don't feel like there's a single person in the whole world that doesn't belong right here in this room? You wanna know? It's because of Jesus, not because of us. He's the light of the world. We just get to shine it. That's it. Don't give me credit. It's about him. I wanna be a great church. And join the other great churches in this area that are just holding out the light of Jesus. So, that's it. You wanna know what beats at the heart of this church? Dun, 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 dun. Church is not just about getting something. It's about being something. It's about being the light of the world. And I just wonder, man, can you imagine what God could do with a group of people that decided to do that? I mean, a long time ago, there was 12. And look what he did through them. And now it's our turn. What could he do through us? I don't know about you, but I like to see. Church is not ultimately about getting something. It's about being something. Let's go be the light of the world. Let me pray for us and we'll go on. God, thank you for this reminder. It's so easy for me to forget and just show up here getting something. And by the way, thank you for all that I have gotten and continue to get every time I come around you. You are light and it just blows me away. And you've done so much in my life and my family's life. I'm just so grateful. But God, I pray that you would light a fire in our hearts, that our hearts would beat with yours to go beyond that and not just get something, but to start being something, to start being the light of the world reflected back into East Cobb and to all the surrounding communities. Because we want to see what you will do. What you did with 12 guys all the way back when you gave this sermon was amazing. What could you do today? We want to see that. So give us courage to go beyond getting something to being something. And I pray that you just blow us away by how you use us to be light, not to our credit, to yours. And so we pray that. Help us shine light in the darkness wherever we find it. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, hey, before we go, I want to let you know one thing. I told you I was going to give you an opportunity to be a first responder, to love where you live before you even leave. And you don't have to, there's no pressure. Well, I have no way of knowing that you did this. So this isn't a guilt trip. But something popped and kind of dropped into our laps. And it was so obviously a God thing that though we had very little time to prepare it, we were like, we're talking about this on Sunday. And so here I go. We were thinking in our staff meeting, our staff was together and we were saying, man, we would love, I mean, we really want to be a church that is attuned to need in our community. And when it's there, like, we're going to go after it as best we can. So God enables us. We want to be light in the darkness and first responders, like I was saying. And I think it was either me or John or somebody said, well, we were talking about like, well, what kind of needs should we be looking for? And we said, well, from the start, let's just look for individuals, like individual needs, because those are the easiest to meet and sometimes the easiest to overlook. Like, and so I think it was either me or John that said, like, it would be cool. Like if somebody needed a fridge, we could go, well, let us know. We'll get you a fridge. Somebody will get you a fridge. And this crew, are you kidding me? Y'all are so generous. Well, John gets an email from somebody that we met around Eastside Baptist here. And he's a pastor of a Portuguese and other foreign languages church, other internationals, like right down the road. And the email, John had asked him like, hey, great meeting you. Like, what are you guys doing? Do you have any needs? Because we know the kind of neighborhoods that they're serving. And he said, yeah, you know, there's a lot of need. We meet as a church, but we spend a lot of our time just like serving the poor and families that don't have enough food. And he said, in fact, we have a food bank and we have been praying and like praying for a while is for some God to send somebody to buy us a fridge. We were like, what? This was in the email. We were like, okay, yes, Lord. You know, that's not a coincidence. Like, and so there's a guy that we've met just from being housed here in Eastside Baptist. He has a church right over there. And they regularly just, they serve food to families that don't have it and kids that don't have it. And they need a deep freezer. So we thought, we'll buy you a deep freezer. Or at least we'll try. So if you want to be involved in that, you're not giving to me or us or anything. Like, if you just want to give to Mosaic Church, as they're trying to feed some families right down the road from here. Literally, you could walk there, I think. You can text freezer to 484848, and you will get a push pay link. And that push pay link, you need to click one time gift, and there's a little account that you can select that says love where you live. And whatever we give, we're going to give to them to have a deep freezer so that they can store food to give to families right around here. And we're just going to, you know, say, hey, we're here to be light in the darkness. That's it. So I would love to invite you. We as a church and as individuals are joining in as well. But we would love for you to join us and text freezer to 484848. And we're just excited to help as we can. So there's that. The only other thing I want to let you know, Jumpstart is immediately after this, like John said. And you can come to that with elementary school kids. We'll direct you where to go. You can go get them. Signs will be clear. And then finally, I'm very excited. Next week, the man, Andy Stanley, will be back starting a brand new series called You're Not Far. And it's going to be looking in the Gospel of Mark, which is really the Gospel of Peter, narrated or written down by Mark. And it's going to be following Jesus from a certain encounter all the way to the resurrection at Easter. So it's going to be a really fun series. You're not going to want to miss it, especially the beginning. So be here next week for part one of the brand new series, You're Not Far. All right, guys. Well, we love you. Thanks for being here on winter break. And we look forward to seeing you very soon. I'm going to be back here in Next, the room right behind here. If you have any questions or if I can help you or pray for you, or if you want to figure out how to get connected, I'll be back there with my team and we'll help you do that. But otherwise, we love you and hope you have a great week. See y'all.